with us, and just ask that you would lift them up quickly and encourage them. Lord, we ask especially for Grandpa this morning, that you would give him strength and healing, that he would be able to be back with us. Lord, we're obviously concerned for our country this morning, Lord, that we are so far away from you. And Lord, we know that we need a great revival through the churches of this land, Lord, that your people would get right with you and proclaim your word. Lord, we desire to see a country that would fear you and would honor you. And Lord, we ask that as we meet together this morning, Lord, that you would instruct us in the things that we need, and that you draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And it is our aim during the Sunday school hour to memorize this chapter. It might take a little longer than that. Okay. Psalm 119. Okay, as we read it, I'm going to ask for some volunteers to help read it. And so I'd like you to speak loud, because we have many folks that are at home not feeling well. And if you speak loud enough, I think they can hear you over live stream. So in Psalm 119 here is in sections here, according to the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're going to read verses 1 through 8, first of all. And as we read, I'd like you to be thinking about what verse in these first 8 verses seems to summarize all 8 of them. A verse that you could pick out would maybe be the theme of the first 8 verses, okay? So, I'm looking for some men and young men, 8 of them. Can I have a volunteer? Brother Jim, verse 1. Brother Jesse, verse 2. Brother Joel, verse 3. Brother Ethan, verse 4. Brother Luke, verse 5. Brother Spencer, verse 6. I don't have a new car to give away to the last two, so okay, brother. I forgot.
Glenn.
Len. Okay. Okay. Len. Verse 7, and then the last one, verse 8. Brother Jim. Okay. All right. We'll start there in verse 1 and be looking as these are read for a verse that you think would summarize these first 8 verses.
They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments.
I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly.
Okay, and I'll give you just a moment here to read back over these, but what would you say, and there doesn't have to be any right or wrong answer here, but to you, what would you say in these first 8 verses do you think would summarize this little section here? Brother Jim? Okay, verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You know, that reminds me so much. I mean, that's what true salvation is all about, isn't it? It's seeking God with our whole heart, because that's the only way to be saved, isn't it? So if you hold your place here, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So this is just one way we can study our Bibles, is what we're doing this morning. It's good to keep reading the Bible through regularly, because if we don't keep reading it through, there are some parts we're going to easily get off on. So we need the balance of it all. But in Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, where? In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with what? The heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So if our heart is really into something, we'll not be ashamed. I think if you ask Brother Jesse this morning if he would choose a Ford or a Chevy pickup, I think he would probably tell you which one. He probably wouldn't have to pull it out of him because he has his mind set. I mean, his mind is not set on material things. Don't get me wrong there. But I mean, as far as which one is better, his mind is made up. His heart is made up on that decision. And so in verse 11, we find sometimes that people seem to be ashamed of the Lord and of his word, but does it not show then that their heart is not really in it? And I'm not saying that a person is not saved, because we read in the scripture that some people were afraid to confess the Lord because they would be kicked out of the synagogues. And so we read about the secret believers. But true salvation is of the heart. That's where the decision is made, is in the heart. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 119 then. Okay, so that verse was, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And so in our Bible study, then we ask ourselves the question, what are we wholehearted about? I mean, we have bread that says whole wheat. Well, what's the difference between whole wheat and half wheat? I've never seen a bread wrapper that says half wheat. Well, I guess the part about it with the whole wheat is it's supposed to be better for you. Maybe it has the roughage part, and they talk about processed wheat or processed sugar or all kinds of stuff like that. But the whole heart. But anyone else have another verse that seemed to stand out to you in these eight verses here? Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's good. We have a GPS, and we were looking for Bibles. And so in Grand Rapids, there's a Trinitarian Bible Society office. Their main headquarters is in Great Britain. But anyway, the GPS led me back. How many of you know where Jack Keller Ford is on Alpine? Okay? My GPS led me back in some apartments in a little road behind Jack Keller Ford. Well, how many of you know where the Trinitarian Bible Society office is down there? Okay? One of you. So it's north of there. There's a water tower. Let's see. What is on the corner there? There's a gas station. Anyway, it's the road just north of Jack Keller Ford. And if you go west on that road, maybe down a quarter of a mile, and then there's a road that leads back up in right by that water tower that sits on the hill. Well, Trinitarian Bible Society is back there. But the fact is my GPS was wrong. It led me astray. But as we think about here, verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. What do you think would be a faithful spiritual GPS to direct us in the right way? I think I heard something. Bible. Okay. The Bible is our heavenly GPS. It directs us in the right way. If you'd go back to, hold your place here again, please. But let's go back to Psalm 19. So this is how we study the Bible, is we read it and we meditate upon it, and then we think of other scriptures that are parallel passages that are similar that would help us in our direction. So Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. Well, that's the basis right there, isn't it? I mean, our soul needs to be saved. We need to be directed right, because there's a lot of false direction out there, isn't there? In Bible Institute, we've been studying about some of the cults. And there's a lot of deceived people, all kinds of deceived people. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise what? The simple. You know, really, the closer we get to God, the more we should realize how little we know apart from Him. We are simple. The statutes of the Lord are what? Right, rejoicing the heart. It's really disheartening, isn't it, when you affirm that something is true and then you find out it isn't? That's discouraging. Yeah, I mean, if you really stand on something and say, well, I know this is right, I know this is right. Well, then if you find that it's wrong, it's really discouraging. But with the Bible, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. Brother Steve was talking about politics this morning, and there's so much in politics that is not pure, that there is an ulterior motive behind whatever someone says or does, but not with God and His Word. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. All kinds of warranties on products, and products don't last. Sometimes it says a limited warranty. I was delivering the DVD to the hospital this morning, and coming back out, there was a, Chevy has the Tahoe, right? Okay. There was a Chevy Tahoe that just glowed like a mirror. Does anyone know what a new Tahoe costs? A lot too much. I was guessing 50-some thousand, but it's just a guess. Okay. Well, there was this beautiful Tahoe in the parking lot of the hospital this morning. I mean, that thing glowed. But the rear fender was smashed. And I'm thinking, I wonder what happened. I mean, if you have enough money to buy a Tahoe, why wouldn't you get it fixed? Well, maybe it just happened. That's one possibility. Well, I don't know. Maybe they have a high deductible. But it just shows, doesn't it? Something can be very, very expensive on earth and just in a moment be a pile of sheet metal. But verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. When we seek God, these are things that endure forever, can never be crashed or brought to naught. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. How many of you like honey? Okay, all right. Well, the Bible is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. How many of you at that last special fellowship, I forget what it was called, but there was honeycomb here. How many of you ate the honeycomb? Okay, some of you. All right. So the Bible says it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. Great reward. It's a reward that cannot be taken away. So let's go back to Psalm 119. Did anyone else see one of those verses there that stood out to you? Okay, these are good. As I said, there's no right and wrong. God may just have a certain verse stand out to you. Okay? All right. Let's read then the next section, which is 9 through 16. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. And could I volunteer for verse 9? Brother Jim, Brother Ethan, verse 10. Brother Jesse, verse 11. Brother Joe, verse 12. Brother Titus, verse 13. Brother Luke, verse 14. Brother Spencer, 15. And Brother Jim, 16. Okay, let's read these verses.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word?
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth, of thy mouth.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Okay, how about these verses, 9 through 16? Did any verse seem to stand out to you, or as you read back through these, does a verse seem to kind of summarize this section? Give me a moment. Brother Jim?
Verse 11.
Okay, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Can any of you tell me the benefits that you've learned from memorizing Scripture? How it seems to help? Did anything stick out in your mind?
Making decisions.
Okay, making decisions. We don't always have the Bible with us, although I do try to always have one in the car. But when I go into the store, I don't necessarily have a Bible with me.
Unless I have a little one in my pocket. So it's good for making decisions because you don't always have the Bible there. And you don't always have the time to, I mean, when a decision is before you, you don't always have time to, you know, read 10 chapters or 20 chapters. There might be a decision right before you. But if the Word of God is hid in our hearts and in our mind can go through a lot of verses in a hurry. People talk about their whole life passed before them when something dangerous happened to them. It's amazing how fast the mind can go. You know, just like a computer, you know, you can do a search on a computer program. You know, you're searching for a particular name, or like a Bible program on your computer, you can search for a certain word, and in just a split second, it'll come up with every time that word appears in the Bible. And I think most of those are based on Strong's Concordance. James Strong, I don't know how many years of his life, he was a Baptist preacher, and he read the Bible and cataloged every word in the Bible. And so he wrote the Strong's Concordance. And what a help that is to us when we are trying to do word searches or look for a particular verse. Can't remember quite where it was. If you can remember just some of the words, you type in those words and it'll come up with that verse and a lot of others, probably. So the mind, if we hide the Bible in our mind, it can help us because our mind can quickly go through there. And not only just the physical part of our mind, but the Holy Spirit bringing to our minds the Word of God. He is our spiritual search engine, the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. So that's good. So that's one thing to making decisions. Has anyone learned anything else from your memorizing Scripture that's helpful? Pardon me? Okay, the renewal of the mind. Okay, we can go to Romans chapter 12 as a backup for that too. It renews our mind. Sometimes we have to refresh. If you use a computer, sometimes you have to refresh. If you're stuck on a page, and maybe you're looking at the weather, and so the radar just keeps moving, keeps moving, keeps moving. And unless there's an auto refresh on it, you might have to refresh to get the most current radar setting. But in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need our minds renewed. Sometimes on a computer, at least, I don't know how much some of you know a lot more about computers than I do, but I know there's like a temporary memory in a computer, and it seems like years gone by, at least, we had to do something, maybe just shut it down. I know when I use the premier video program that we use for the church here for different things. Sometimes the computer would just get so bogged down, I'd just have to close the computer and it would refresh that and then start it up again. Because the computer, it'd come up on my screen, low on memory. Well, the hard drive wasn't full, but that other type of memory was and needed to be emptied out, refreshed. And we need that. We need refreshing. I mean, that's part of the reason that we gather together in church, isn't it? To get refreshed spiritually. And we need that. Okay, anything else that someone thinks about when you think of memorizing Scripture? Brother Joel?
Encourages us when we're fearful or discouraged.
Okay. Encourages us when we're fearful or discouraged. We need that. Just with the whole political climate right now, that makes me think of Psalm 37. I was kind of discouraged. I mean, I had an idea that the election would probably be a mess, but I was hoping that it wouldn't be. And sometimes it seems like the wicked prevail, but that's when we need that to get our minds refreshed in the Word of God. So that we're not fearful. Psalm 37:1. What's the first three words? Fret not thyself. You know what? There's a lot of people fretting over this election. A lot of people. But if the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now that's the fears of some people, is that, okay, the political climate, you know, is America going to self-destruct? I mean, even the Iranians are, I don't know if they're tweeting or what they're using to get out their message, but they're kind of mocking America right now, what's going on. So, but trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I mean, some people are very concerned now. Okay, our economy was good, but what's going to happen now? Am I going to have a job? How am I going to feed my family? Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. What does verse 7 say? Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. There's that word again, fret. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Oh, boy, that verse sure fits on this election, does it? But verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret, there's that word again. Fret not thyself in any wise to do what? Evil. A lot of people say, hey, well, if that's the way they're going to play, I can play the same game. Have you ever heard that? If that's the way you want to play, okay, I'll play the game that way. But God says, don't do that. Don't do it. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be what? Cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall what? Inherit the earth. Who is going to inherit that White House? Will President Trump remain in there when the counting is done? Will Mr. Biden move into that house? I cannot tell you, but I do know this, that God says, when we put our trust in him, and when we don't get in that camp of trying to do evil to get our way, we're going to inherit the earth. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to take us to heaven for 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, he's coming back with us. He is going to set up his kingdom, his 1,000-year reign. And at the end of that, Satan is going to be loosed for a short season. The Lord's going to conquer him once and for all. And then he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we, as God's people, are going to inherit the earth, not the wicked. You know, someone can try to plot, and I don't know, in the Lord's plan, allowing this or that, he may at times allow the wicked to control parts of this earth, but not forever. Their day is coming. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There it is again. We will inherit the earth. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. There's a lot of that going on. But, verse 13, the Lord shall what? Laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. You know, you don't read in the scripture too often where God laughs. But when a wicked person tries to shake their fist at God and thwart his plan, the Bible says he's laughing. The Lord shall laugh at him. That reminds me, and I've told you times before, but when we lived, actually when we first moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was a man in an office. I was in there trying to conduct some business, and there was a man in there, and his little boy was just punching his daddy like crazy in the belly. And I thought, you know, that's really not good, the little boy. I mean, he was rearing for with all of his power, punching his dad in the belly. Well, later I found out this guy, his daddy, was a champion weightlifter. And I saw he was in the auditorium, and not that I condone this type of activity in church, but he was doing a little display of his strength in a training union session. And he asked for the biggest man in the church to be found. And, well, the biggest man in the church, at least they chose, was the third pastor down. There was a pastor and a couple associates. Well, the third one down was tall, and he was a big man. And so they got him up on a chair, and they had the champion weightlifter lay down on the floor. And so it was the biggest man in the church's job to jump down on his stomach. And he did. I don't think his stomach budged a bit. So when I saw him previously with his little boy punching his stomach, his daddy was just laughing. And that's why I bring that up. It talks about God laughing. The wicked trying to get at God, the wicked trying to bring forth their evil plan. God is sitting in heaven laughing, just like that champion weightlifter daddy was just laughing when his little boy was punching him as hard as he could. Didn't faze him. Well, I didn't know that at the time, but later on, I found out just how strong that boy's daddy is. And you know what? Sometimes at times like this of turmoil in our country, we're thinking, Lord, I know you are in heaven laughing about all this situation, these wicked people trying to shake their fist at you, and these wicked people trying to promote abortion and sodomy and all those things, Lord, that you say are an abomination. And I know, Lord, you're laughing about it, but Lord, I've got to live here. And from my angle, it really doesn't seem too funny right now. But that's where we have to wait on the Lord and not fret. So that's a good point, that if we hide the scripture in our heart, then we'll have something to go back to, just like with me, with these elections. I was getting kind of troubled about it all, and so I thought, you know what? Psalm 37 is the place to go. I need to go there and read it. And so I went there, and it just put my heart at ease. And I've had to go there again since then. So that's good to have some scripture memorized. So, well, I guess our time is out here to prepare for the next service. But anyway, that's the way we study the Bible. We read the verses, and then we go back and ponder. Try to find a verse that summarizes that, and then meditate on it. Compare it with other scriptures, and let it be a strengthening to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to memorize it. I pray you would help us to read it, to study it, to be renewed, to be refreshed. And Lord, help us. We seem to have read that word fret over and over today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us because our country is in turmoil and it's real easy to fret. And so we need your help and your comfort, your direction. Lord, please bless in the hour to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service starts in about 6 minutes. Thank you.